Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. And that's right, I am joined tonight by my love, my partner, my best friend, my beautiful, amazing, stunning wife. Hi, darling, how you doing?
Hi, I'm really good. How are you doing this evening?
Well, you know, it's a little bit chilly here where I am.
Yeah?
Imagine that.
It's freaking disgustingly hot and humid here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's low clouds, can't even see the mountains here. But it has been an adventure. So. So anyway, glad to be with you tonight. I wasn't even sure I was going to make it, the time zone differences and all. But, here we are. So you have an amazing topic to talk about tonight, and I'm really excited that I'm here to share it with you. Yeah, I mean, we thought you were going to do this by yourself tonight, so I'm happy that I was able to join you. So tonight you're going to be talking about planning an event.
No.
And I'm gonna be color commentary tonight, so.
Yeah, no, that's not the conversation.
Uh oh, what
we changed it.
You changed topics.
I changed topics, I'm sorry. Tonight is called
change topics.
Yeah, well it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, time difference and everything. You didn't get updated. Tonight is called Life, the Universe and Everything. Sound familiar?
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a Douglas Adams book.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
we're not actually talking about the book, though. I just like the title.
Oh, it is a good title. It is a good book, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when you're thinking about all of our conversations, when you're talking about all of our conversations about the trees running the planet, and I keep joking that Douglas Adams keeps saying, you know, thought it was the mice.
Uh-huh.
That were running the planet. And, you know, we were just an experiment.
Uh-huh.
So,
yep.
Anyway, so what are your thoughts on life, the universe, and everything? And I'm still just color commentary, so.
42. No, I'm just kidding.
42.
Another. Show's over, folks. That's it. 42. The life, the universe, and everything. That's it. It's the answer to all things. 42. Do you know why 42? No?
What?
Okay, his daddy's not. I said, do you know why 42?
All right, why don't you tell?
Oh, I thought you knew.
No.
Okay.
No, I think that was the point of the book, that there was no point to 42.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I was right. Hoping you were going to launch into some diatribe and I could then, you know, tease you. But anyway.
No, the point of the book was that there was no point to 42. A million, you know, so many billion years, and all you can come up with is 42. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, when you think about it, is right about where we are anyway. Does anybody really know
42?
What it's all about, Elsie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's all pointless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask.
I don't know if I agree that it's pointless.
Some people think it's pointless, and some people think that, you know, we are here for a reason. And, of course, I think we're here to learn and grow and experience that which we cannot experience in spirit. So to descend into the physical, we are able to experience the three physical planes that spirit simply cannot. And through those experiences, we grow and learn as souls. Until we ultimately work toward reconnecting with the divine in whatever form it is. How's that for some deep esoteric thought?
Yeah, a little bit. Speaking of deep esoteric thought, so I'm thinking the other day, you know, I've been sort of mulling around this whole tree thing, right? And the fact that the trees, probably are our keepers. And we are here to do nothing but exhale carbon dioxide to make the trees happy. So I'm thinking, what if... what if the reality is something totally other than what we have thought it is? What if the reality, you know, and there's that whole Matrix tie-in here. What if the reality is really that we are like the fleas living amongst the trees, and the things that we perceive as diseases and plagues and floods and things are really just ways that the body with all these beautiful trees are trying to, like, get rid of some of the fleas when we become an over-infestation, you know? Kind of like when you give your dog a flea bath. you know, what if that's really the reality, is that our sole purpose here is to exhale carbon dioxide and feed the trees?
Okay, and that we are just an infestation on the planet?
Yeah. Yeah, think about it.
Hmm. Well,
the other thing I was thinking about, I'm telling you, it's been weird in my head the last few days. So what happens when you're not here to keep me busy? I actually have time, quiet time to think.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to stay home more. No more adventures.
Keep me from thinking. I'm dangerous. So there's also this whole thing, you know. I was thinking about this morning when I was driving to work because I had no one to talk to. In the Bible, you know, it talks about Eve and Eve, you know, taking the fruit from the tree of knowledge and, you know, casting Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and into the world of the flesh and sin, as it were. So I'm trying to think, like, what could that be a metaphor for pertaining to our time amongst the trees? I mean, if you think about our fellow primates who all basically live arboreally, you know, they climb trees, they sleep in trees, they live in trees, they live in the forest on the forest floor, but still climb trees frequently. gorillas are probably the ones who live the most on the forest floor, just because of their huge size. It's hard for them to climb trees. But they still live primarily in deep forests. So the vibrations and these photochemicals that trees give off to promote wellness in human beings. What if the actual metaphor here for taking the fruit and leaving the, you know, being cast out of the garden was that, you know, she was curious and wanted to know what was beyond the trees and walked out to find knowledge. And in finding knowledge, began living on the plains amongst the grasses, the tree's mortal enemies, by the way, and just had to, they talked about, you know, the reason they think we started to walk upright was because we had to stand up to see over the tall grass. And over time, we just began to walk more and more upright, which would have separated us from our, you know, other primates that lived in trees.
Well, see, now you return to a thought that I have had and have spoken on for many, many, many years, that people try to say that the scientific explanations of evolution and the creation story in the Bible are inconsistent one with the other. And I do not necessarily believe that that is so. Now, if we get away, like you're speaking, it's metaphor. This is a story used to explain stuff. Well, there's a 100 myth stories in across multiple cultures that explain the turning of the seasons and this and lightning and the growing of the mountains and all of these natural occurrences are all explained in supernatural tales. So if we can get away from the idea that the Bible is literal, which most reasonable, rational people have grasped that there's, you know, more of a storytelling here, then we look at the idea, and I've spoken to you of this, that in colloquial Aramaic, if I was to, say, take a ping pong ball and throw it across the living room, and it hit a wall and bounced off another wall and then tapped onto the window, then rolled across the floor, up a ramp, and then fell into a water bowl for one of the animals, I would say something to the effect of, I couldn't do that again in a million years. Our colloquial term for an incomprehensible period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Well, the Jews in the time period of, you know, the writing of the Bible would have said, I couldn't do that again in seven days. A colloquial term for an incomprehensible period of time. I couldn't do that again in 7 days. Well, if we take that colloquial term for an incomprehensible period of time and accept that 7 days in creation may be an metaphor or colloquial for an incomprehensible period of time, and then we follow evolution and the creation story side by side by side by side by side, taking out the it happened in one day kind of thing, literal one day, then the stories pretty much match right up until the creation of Adam and Eve. Then we take what you've just added to the story as a metaphor, as a story to explain the coming out of the trees and standing up on the plains and becoming what we now think of as Homo sapiens. Well, there you go. The story's complete. the stories match. It's just another way of explaining what was in that time period unexplainable to a primitive mind that didn't have the scientific understanding that we have today. How's that for a thought?
Yeah, it's possible. So,
well, I mean, you wanted to be deep philosophical and metaphorical. There you go.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing that occurred to me was that if you were going to be a species that lived in trees and in the forest, you would definitely need to do something about, you know, bugs, because they're everywhere. And how would one do something about that? Well, first of all, you'd probably have some pretty dense fur to protect your skin. And you'd probably also need to, you know, groom it, look through it, make sure you don't have ticks and stuff, which is basically what a lot of primates do for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to sort of a social order, a pecking order, if you will, of who gets groomed first more often by more people, or more monkeys, as it were, primates. And, you know, who's in favor and who's not in favor, and hence begins the social structure that leads to civilization and socialization. And, you know, I just watched this thing on television on one of the, you know, nature channels, where they had all kinds of primates from different areas of the world using tools, which seems to have evolved over the last 15 to 30 years, as they can tell, using stones to crush and open hazelnuts and walnuts, and using sticks to catch ants and termites, and large sticks to use as weapons to beat off, you know, other animals, or to hit each other with when they were unhappy. All of these are early weapons and hunting tools, and this will lead to, you know, smarter and smarter primates. How far behind us are they? You know, it was a very interesting show. The ultimate difference being is that they never, so far, have not left the safety of the trees.
Okay. Well, how much of this are they learning from observing humans?
Well, that's a valid question. You know, did they see a man, you know, take a stick and try to beat a lion or something, or did they see a human using a rock to crush, you know, a walnut or something? Anything's possible. You don't know.
Yeah, well,
but if they're
smart
to learn from observation, you'd think
that
the other thing they would observe.
Well, exactly. There was another observation that there were these two islands with two groups of the same species of primate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was inhabited by humans, and the other was not. And the primates on the island inhabited by humans started picking up this skill of washing some food in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And more of that troop of primates picked up this trait and passed it on and taught others, and more. And then after a certain point, the monkeys on the uninhabited island suddenly, spontaneously, demonstrated that same trait.
Interesting.
In isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So it bears the thoughts about a collective unconscious.
Yeah.
Or a collective subconscious. That idea that we are all connected, and that a trait learned by any or by a sufficient quantity of the species is then collectively known by all of the species through this collective.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I remember that story and from somewhere else, and then you brought up the primates learning, and it reminded me of that story, so I thought I would share it.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know, there's just been a lot of interesting thoughts this week about the whole tree thing, and I'm feeling very drawn to doing healings amongst the trees, and I have to do some meditation and some.
Certainly, since we have spoken. Yeah, I was going to say certainly since we have spoken of that on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
That has been running around pretty hard in my mind as well. And I think that there's something, and you know, the first time I came to the mountain, I knew that there was something special there. And I've always been drawn to, you know, the trees up there at the mountain, so... I think there is something to this conversation about the healing power of trees.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to my entire life. My favorite thing to do when I was a kid was to climb a tree, and I would sit in the tree for hours. The tree out in front of my house, the big old oak tree, if I was upset, I would go talk to this tree. I would sit down under the tree, and I would go and talk to the tree. This has been a pattern over and over again in my life. You know, the time that I lived in Manhattan, the one thing I couldn't wait to do was to go back to Queens where there were trees and visit my trees. When I lived in Manalapan in New Jersey, I had this big old witch hazel tree. I'd never seen one this big. Usually witch hazels are almost more like a shrub. Well, this tree, I couldn't put my arm around it, and it was definitely witch hazel, and it was huge, and it had to have been several hundred years old, and I just loved this tree, and, you know, I moved from there, and so I obviously don't go there anymore, but it was a great friend, and I've always had this affinity for trees. So this whole idea of doing formal healings in amongst the trees, and certainly we have 7 acres of old growth forest here to do that in. And I'm actually thinking this weekend you and I need to take a walk up in the woods and scope out some of the older trees and just get a
sense.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, those two maple trees.
Out back, yeah.
Those two maple trees on the side of the house where we got married.
Mhm.
No, it wasn't by accident I picked that place and asked that we get married there.
Mhm.
Those two big old maples have always kind of called to me.
Mhm.
I love
yeah,
it over there in the shade under those maples. You know, I had in Barbados I had that baobab tree. When I was in West Palm, I had a big banyan tree in the yard. That I just loved that banyan tree. I loved the air roots, like the banyan trees and the baobabs and the ones that drop the air roots and they grow outward by dropping more roots and then that becomes part of the body of the tree. And you get hollows up inside of them. And it's almost like you're visiting the dryads up inside this tree. And I've always been fascinated by those kinds of trees. And but yeah, those maples there in the yard always kind of, you know, always I've had an affinity for those since early in my visits up to the mountain. So
yeah.
But yes, you're right. We need to take a walk up the mountain and spend a little time up there feeling the trees and asking for guidance.
Agreed.
So we are at 25 minutes after the hour. And I've got a song here queued up just in my whimsical kind of mood by Emerald Rose. And I thought maybe we would go ahead and play the song and then come back after the break and talk more about trees or the universe or whatever it is that's on our mind. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
All right. And in honor of your random thoughts tonight, I have a song by Emerald Rose called We Come From Monkey. So, We Come From Monkeys by Emerald Rose, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around.
Darwin had a revelation. He said all life evolved from the confusion. He had a theory. It made some people nervous when he came to the embarrassing conclusion. We come from monkeys. We're not so special. We've only got a little extra DNA. The chimpanzees are very close to us. Australopithecus, he's not so far away. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees. A little bit of monkey inside you and me. A monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. We come from monkeys. Minded said creation was the answer. They got upset. Then those got out of joint. They say we're missing the monkey in the middle. They're picking it. It gotta prove the point. You're not so hairy. You haven't got a tail. You're not adapted for living in a tree. But if you care, count up all your chromosomes. You're 98.4% a chimpanzee. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees. A little bit of monkey inside you and me. A monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. We come from monkeys. Double-headed monkey bars feel the primal beast. 6 million years we've been walking on our feet. A barrel full of monkeys swinging from the family tree. We don't want to start a social revolution. We just want to talk about the monkey evolution. But the knuckles drag your stool, swinging cool to the solar sea. We come from monkeys. Can't handle the thought of evolution. You might just call it intelligent design. But if the universe keeps on evolving, then maybe you should just evolve a bigger mind. We come from monkeys swinging in the trees. A little bit of monkey inside you and me. A monkey in the middle, a monkey on your back. It's a fundamental problem, but a scientific fact. We come from monkeys. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do, monkey me, monkey you. Let's all face it, it's all true, we come from monkeys.
And now a message from our friends at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to Terry's and Robin's Power Hours. How you doing over there, Donna?
Oh, I'm doing good.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about monkeys and primates and living in the trees, and then we were starting to talk about the healing power of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's some pretty exciting stuff and some research being done, as well as some, Eastern spirituality, almost akin to something coming out of Shinto.
Mm-hmm.
With the, the healing power of trees and, you know, and the ritualism of like a Shinrin Yoku.
Mm-hmm.
That, forest bathing. And it's looking really interesting to look into how much this is becoming a part of like Japanese culture. Did you know that you can actually, In Japan, you can actually get your insurance to pay for
forest bathing therapy. Yeah.
The Shinrin Yoku forest bathing therapy is now, you know, approved for accepted by your insurance company. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to the whole body kind of stuff, I think the Eastern peoples have a quicker idea about things than we do over here in the West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to still stick to treat the illness, not the body.
Right.
and you know, that we're missing something. If we're not treating the vessel, then we're not giving the vessel a chance to heal.
Right.
Because, you know, you and I both believe that the body will heal itself given half a chance.
That's right.
So, anyway, your other thoughts for the evening?
Well, I was actually thinking about doing some experimenting with the forest bathing and doing some healings. I've been reading some stuff on it over the last few days, and it's pretty simplistic and straightforward. I think it's if you have not heard about it, you should look it up online. It's Shinrin Yoku, Shirin-Yoku, I believe, off the top of my head. I think that's correct. Or forest bathing. It's becoming very popular in California. As a matter of fact, I came across a company, a foundation actually, that will teach you about it. But they are, of course, asking for thousands and thousands of dollars, which most people don't have. And I don't think it has to be that complicated, to be honest. So, like I said, I'm gonna do some experimentation with it and see how it goes.
Yeah, we definitely need to do some meditation and commune with the trees a bit and see where that takes.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe so.
So you're absolutely right about a trip up the mountain this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. It is just so still and muggy here tonight. It tried to rain, and it didn't really rain. It just drizzled and just made it worse. It didn't cool it off at all.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it did rain here. It's been kind of drizzly all day. So, yeah, I'm looking forward. It's supposed to Thursday. They're talking about maybe it's going to get cleared up, and I'll be able to get some decent pictures of these mountains all around us. So, what else did you have in your mind for the life, the universe, and everything?
Oh, the life, the universe, and everything. Well, you know, I just kind of thought I might talk a little bit. You're here, though, so. But I thought I might talk a little bit about things that I think are a little bit unique to women's aging experience. I'm finding out, things nobody really told me when I was in my 20s and 30s, and looking. You know, looking ahead, just odd little tidbits about growing up and growing old, and one of the things I'm most enjoying. There's this show, Frankie and Grace, on Netflix. It stars Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, and it talks about a lot of this stuff, women as they, you know, get older, and some of the things that happen to our bodies and the changes, and physically, emotionally, psychologically, everything from what you would expect, like arthritis, to things you wouldn't expect, like vaginal dryness, and how older women who often wind up either widowed or divorced The kids have grown up and gone, so they're pretty much alone and on their own. And how do they cope with loneliness? So it talks about a lot of those things. That one of the things that's really cute on the show is these women decide to go into business, and they decide to create a vibrator for women in their 60s and 70s who might suffer from arthritis or have hands that don't work very well anymore, and eyesight that's not so good anymore, and you know, just it's just brilliant. So. And that, you know, watching that show, it's made me realize, wow, you know, there are all these things out there that women, you know, deal with. Chin hair, you know, all the stupid hair that grows on your chin and under your, under your chin and sometimes on your upper lip and, you know, sometimes for some women in their ears and in places that you would never expect hair to grow, growing up. And it's a constant reminder that we are no longer young and, you know, full of sex appeal anymore, and it can get the better of you. You know, you've really got to keep a positive mindset, thinking, you know, I've got lots more to do, and so what if I've got a little chin hair, and so what if I've gained 50 pounds and can't seem to take it off because of menopause? You just got to keep going. Are you still there?
Yeah, I said I was going to listen.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I had gotten dropped or something. It was complete silence on the other end there.
No, I was being quiet and listening.
Oh, okay.
Being respectful, letting you talk.
Oh, I see. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. It's not like I've got something to add to this. I mean, it's, you know, this is definitely uniquely your experience and not mine. So, I mean,
oh, so men don't have things as they age that surprise them?
My need for reading glasses that I never needed when I was younger. For me, I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm teaching a class this week, and I'm still, you know, faster and, you know, quicker than the puppies. I'm still showing them that the old man still got it. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure that there will come a time. There will come a time when, you know, it will get more challenging, but.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm fighting that tooth and nail. You know? I mean, yeah, there's the ear hair thing. That's, you know, a little surprising. That's, you know, mildly disconcerting and a constant constant battle. So yeah, there's that. You know, like you were talking about, hairs growing in strange places, growing out of the top of my ear. Like, what the hell is that? And, you know, why is that even there? But, yeah, otherwise I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, fighting it tooth and nail. Staying up, staying active, refusing to give in. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts, but I'm giving it my best shot.
Yep. Yeah, me too, sort of.
Oh, I think you're doing pretty well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I still think that you got sex appeal, whether you think so or not.
Well, thank you, darling. That's nice to know.
Well, I try to demonstrate, you know. I try to show you sometimes, too, so.
Anyway.
But that may be another show for another time.
Yeah, that could be another show.
On another network.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, we're all aging. I mean, the alternative is to, you know, pass from this life and not continue to age. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm planning to stick around, and I'm glad that you are, too. You know, we've got, some advantages, though. You know, we've got some wisdom. We've got some knowledge. We've got, a community, at least in the broader pagan community, wisdom is respected. And age and knowledge is respected a great deal more than it is in the secular world. And so, you know, we got that going for us that, you know, some people out there don't. You know, it's kind of sad what some groups of society do to old people.
Yeah, we have not really effectively figured out how to take care of our parents and grandparents. We have a tendency in this country to put them out to pasture, go live in an assisted living. You know, we're too busy to take care of you. We're too busy to be there for you. You know, we truly have taken it to a high art form in this country how to destroy the family unit. Not only can we not afford to take care of our parents anymore, and they wind up oftentimes in less than ideal situations in nursing homes and assisted living.
Mm-hmm. Warehouse.
We also, exactly. We also cannot afford to live, for the vast majority of the people who live in the United States, without both parents working. Or both people in the family, you know, both adults working to support the household. And when you have children, that means they are pretty much letting other people raise their kids. And being a child care giver is an important job, and so don't get me wrong, but it has really changed the way families relate to each other. It has changed the face of what a family is. We do not support the ideology of family in this country. The ideology in this country is that everything is done to make a dollar, to make the company we work for a dollar. There are very few other countries in the world where children ever have a day off of school for a holiday and the parents have to work. We are one of the few countries that our holidays do not follow the holidays the kids have off of school. There's about 5 holidays in every school year where the parent has to work and the child has off of school.
Yeah.
And that, to me, just right there says that as a nation, we are not supporting families. We are not supporting it, particularly women in this country who have the responsibility and I'd probably say in about 60% of the case right now for primary care of most of the children in the family. So how do women rectify that? You know, you have to get somebody else to watch your kid for the day when kids are little, or you have to spend every vacation day you probably have dealing with your kids' holidays. You know, for Easter break, they usually have anywhere from 3 to 5 days off. For Thanksgiving, they have anywhere from 3 to 5 days off. For Christmas, they have a week off. Right there is 3 weeks of vacation just about. Very few people I know have 3 weeks of paid vacation. Not to mention, you know, when your child might be sick or the other holidays like Columbus Day and, you know, there's a handful of other little holidays that people usually have to work, but the kids have off of school.
Unless you work for the government. It's all about you have to work for the government. You have to work for the government.
But even the government doesn't always have all the same holidays that the kids have. Hello?
Sure they do. Sure they do. The teachers work for the government. That's why they've got those days off.
No, the teachers work for the school district. That's why they have those days off. And some of those days off, the kids have off, teachers are working. They do, like, in-service days, and they have lesson planning days, and they have workshops they go to. So that's not – I worked in the school systems. That's not necessarily true. They don't always have off all five – let's say if the kids have off 5 days for Easter, teachers don't necessarily have off all five of those days. They probably have off three or four of those days. They don't usually have off all of them. They may have to go in for some sort of in-service or, you know, changing out your bulletin board in your room or whatever it is. There are things they do behind the scenes with some of that time.
Okay.
But certainly if you work for the government, you don't necessarily have, you know, 5 days off for Christmas week.
Well, there is that. All right. Well,
so.
You make valid points, and we will have to consider and come back and talk about some of the possible solutions at some point.
Solutions are to vote for legislators that respect family values and to make it clear to our representatives and our congressmen that it needs to be more equitable. This country shouldn't be so much about, you know, making money for whatever company we work for or a gross national product. We need to find a better work-life balance as far as our families are concerned.
Okay. Alrighty then. Well, we are...
Life, the universe, and everything.
Life, the universe, and everything. We are at about 8 minutes away from the top of the hour. So I believe it is just about time that we have a conversation about how people can get in touch with us.
Aha! Somehow I knew you were going to say that. Okay, if you'd like to get in touch with either Terry or myself, you can write us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You also can get in touch with us on Facebook at Robin A. McKean or Rev Terry Power HP.
All right.
That's how you can find
us. You can also follow me. Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP.
There you go.
So... Look for information on some possible healing workshops that we might be putting together based on some of the conversations we had tonight. And if you would like for us to come and speak to your group, we just did a couple of pretty fun workshops at Ishtar Fest. And... met some people that seemed pretty drawn to the message that we were delivering on communications and relationships. That's always been one of our most popular workshops. So, you know, certainly if you have an event or something going on and you would like for us to come and speak to your group, let us know. littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And gosh, I think we've got pretty much the summer off now. We've done our big event trip out to Ishtar Fest, and we're going to be putting together some workshops and teaching over in New Jersey. We've just got to work out some of the and kind of looking forward to that. Talking with some people, doing some tarot readings, and doing some counseling on preparing oneself to be in a relationship, even before you need to worry about communications in the relationship. We're going to be talking about preparing yourself for the relationship itself, or even beginning the search. So looking forward to all of those workshops coming up. So what else have you got for us tonight, Byron? We've got a couple of minutes left until the top of the hour.
I don't know. That's pretty much it. I'm all talked out. How's Alaska?
All right. Alaska is cold and rainy right now. Yeah, I didn't know if we were saying exactly where I was, but I'm up in Palmer, Alaska, about an hour north of Anchorage. Actually, on the edge of a city community called Wasilla. And it is rugged and beautiful, and but it gets bloody cold up here. You know,
yes, it does.
I'm miserable and cold in the winter where we are, much less trying to be up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. We are far enough north here that at 11:30 last night, I was still looking out at the mountains and the clouds. And you know, it gets finally starts getting dark about midnight, and they're telling me that it's darker this week because of the cloud cover than it usually is.
Huh.
So if we get a night without clouds, then it's supposed to be reasonably bright until 1 o'clock in the morning. That's a little strange to me.
Yeah.
But then in the winter, they have just the opposite. So they've got, you know, hours and hours and hours of darkness.
Yeah.
Which, you know, darkness and cold. I'm pretty sure that would be enough to make me a little crazy.
Uh-huh.
I like the sunshine.
I have a little bit of seasonal affective disorder here in Pennsylvania. I can't imagine what it would be like if I moved to Alaska. It would make me crazy.
Oh yeah, you'd be wearing the visor with the lights underneath.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. Well, darling, I will be looking forward to coming home.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
But tonight, I guess it is time for us to sign off and to thank all of our listeners for joining us and sharing a little bit of their time with us and hanging out with us here at the Power Hours. So
yeah.
It is for the listeners that we're here. We appreciate you guys. And I guess there's nothing left now but to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.